Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey now.
Hey now.
And welcome back to the show where two childhood friends discuss their favourite childhood movies. I'm Emily Sandford.
And I'm Barney Lee. And whether it's iconic lines, musical moments, or just questionable outfit choices, the films we'll be talking about on our show are unique in their own way. And this week, we'll be discussing Space Jam.
Warning, this episode contains nostalgia and big love for the Quackster of the Courts, Daffy Duck. Thank you. Very funny. Let's laugh at the duck.
You're so good at that.
Really?
Yes.
I've never owned a retainer, so I'm surprised I can do that.
You're like wiping the spit off your face.
I know, this microphone. We don't even have a pop shield on it. Call ourselves professional.
You're living on the edge.
Yeah.
I am honestly, can I just preface this whole podcast record? I'm so nervous to try and do a Looney Tunes impression. I just can't. Honestly, I've tried. It's just not going to go well.
It's so difficult. The only one we really know is, what's up, Doc? You know, when you occasionally hold a carrot?
All the times that you just kind of stand leaning against a tree with a carrot, with an entire carrot with like the green leaves still on the end of it.
Yeah, I apologise for anyone who's walked past me in Hyde Park.
You're like, this is where I lean.
Can't a girl just eat her carrot in peace, for God's sake?
Wow, okay. Well, Space Jam was such a massively ambitious crossover between probably the biggest basketball star of the 90s, Michael Jordan, and Bugs Bunny, and the rest of the Looney Tunes.
I love that it happened. I think, like, critically, it got a little bit slammed, if I may say. The original animators of Looney Tunes were a bit sort of, I don't think they really liked the mashup, if that makes sense, because if you're, you know, one of the OGs of Looney Tunes, you're like, oh no, you know, it doesn't really work as a feature length film. It works better as, you know, 20 minute clip. So I think they were a little bit against it. But in all fairness, you know, everyone knows about Space Jam. It was just like a bit of fun, I think.
Yeah.
And what I really like about this film is that it actually originated from just a TV commercial. And then they were like, oh, you know, this is potential to be an actual film.
Right. So there was an advert that featured Bugs Bunny and Michael Jordan together.
Yes. The concept of the commercial was called like Hair Jordan. So it was a Nike commercial.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to be upfront. I don't know a bunch about basketball or Michael Jordan's, you know, professional career. What I found out when doing research, which was so interesting, was that the premise of the plot actually really happened. Michael Jordan had an initial retirement in 1993, and that was just because he said he kind of lost his desire to play basketball. I think he lost his dad a few months prior, so,
right,
you know, just wasn't really in the right headspace anymore. And then he surprised like the entire sports industry by signing a minor league baseball contract with the Chicago White Sox in 1994. And he said that he did that because he was pursuing the dream of his dad, who always wanted him to play baseball.
Oh.
It's crazy. So that really happened for a couple of years. And then after that, he returned to play basketball again.
Yeah, and thank God he did, because otherwise we wouldn't have this film.
Exactly.
Fucker in Sackatash. That would have been a disaster.
So the film was released on the 15th of November 1996, and it was directed by a guy called Joe Pitka, who I had a look at his filmography, and the things he's famous for are quite limited. He directed the music video for Michael Jackson for the track The Way You Make Me Feel.
Oh,
the way you make me feel.
The way you make me feel.
And he also did a Pepsi advert with Madonna.
Okay.
And then that was kind of it. So like Space Jam is like a rogue choice for him, but you know, I think he did a good job.
Yeah, okay.
It's hard directing cartoon animals.
I know, but why did they get him to do that? Because I'm thinking like, this is like a Warner Bros. Film. Mm. Surely you've got a few directors up your sleeve. None that wanted to make Space Jam.
Maybe.
No.
The budget for the movie was $80 million.
Woo.
And the box office gross was $250 million.
Okay, so you could get a few Air Jordans with that.
Yeah, only a few though.
It was
as if buying one is an option.
Yeah.
Just one shoe.
Yeah. I meant pairs, you know.
Oh, okay. This was the highest grossing basketball film of all time and is also the highest grossing Looney Tunes film of all time. What was also really interesting is that including the amount of revenue received from merchandise and games, the kind of franchise has grossed over $6 billion. So it just goes to show how lucrative those like toy deals are.
Oh my goodness.
I know. You know, in 1996, I would love to have had one of those basketball costumes.
Oh my God, definitely. I don't know if you remember this because you talking about that has just unlocked a part of my brain, which I've not opened in 25 years. Do you remember the Warner Brothers store?
Yes.
Okay, so there was a Warner Brothers store near where Barney and I lived when we were growing up. I used to love going there so much. And do you remember, like, right at the back of the shop, there was like big TV screens that kind of came up with cartoons and stuff like this. So this was like the greatest place, like if your mum or like parents wanted to go off shopping, and you could just be like, okay, I'm gonna sit in the Warner Brothers store. And then there was like this big silver kind of like plastic tunnel you could like climb in behind the TV.
Really?
I think it was like designed for kids, obviously, like, you know, a bit fun. I used to love that.
Oh, so great. I have this really weird memory of them showing the music video for Madonna, American Pie. And I remember, I have this really weird memory of me specifically watching this music video within the Warner Brothers store on one of their TVs as well.
Oh.
So weird. They also had loads of like Harry Potter merch because it kind of aligned with that time. And I remember they had a little figure of Dobby right by the entrance.
Oh my God, scary.
It was so scary.
I'll just take my socks and go. Oh my God, terrifying. Who's your favorite Looney Tune? Just side note.
Good question. I love Tweety Bird.
Mm-hmm. Tweety Pie.
Is it really?
Tweety Pie.
Oh my God.
Tweety Bird.
Hold on, this says Tweety Bird.
Yeah, but it should be Tweety.
Oh, Tweety. Oh my gosh, this is crazy. Okay, so she's just called Tweety.
I'm 100% sure she's called Tweety Pie, but it's actually just Tweety.
Okay, so I thought it was Tweety Bird. You thought it was Tweety Pie. It's just Tweety. That's crazy. Oh my God.
What?
I'm just reading the Wikipedia. Tweety is male.
What?
Despite the perceptions that people may hold, owing to the long eyelashes and high-pitched voice, Tweety is male.
What?
Oh my God, my mind is blown.
My cranium hurts.
My cranium. And I like the little granny that like looks after
Oh
Tweety.
My God, yes. And there's this really funny sketch where she's just like burning money in the fire. What? And it's so funny. She's like obviously a really rich old lady.
Yeah.
Just, instead of throwing logs on, she's just like throwing money.
So good. What about you? What's your favorite character?
Oh, Daffy Duck, 100%.
Oh.
He's just like a mess. Do you know what I mean? He's just like, but he's so funny. I think it's just because I love any character who has kind of like that delivery or is a bit like slapstick.
Yeah.
And guys, if you haven't done this already, Google Daffy Duck without a beak.
Because it gets blown off a lot.
Honestly, the amount of times that poor thing has ran into some dynamite is crazy.
Can the Looney Tunes ever die? It seems like they get, every minute they get squashed or blown up or like put in a blender, and then in the next scene they're absolutely fine.
Their fate basically lies in the hands of the illustrators.
Yeah. Daffy's like, kill me.
My beak can't hang on for much longer.
He's great. We should also talk about the real actors in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we have Michael Jordan, who we mentioned. What I love is the kind of cameo appearance from Bill Murray.
Yeah.
It's Insane. Apparently, Bill Murray accepted a role in this movie after expressing regret at missing out on a chance to star in the other live-action animated film, Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Oh.
So he obviously saw it and was like, oh, damn, I could have been in something like that.
Because that film is actually so good. Like, me and my neighbour used to watch that all the time. We used to love it. That's what I remember anyway.
So Bill apparently was only supposed to be in that one golfing scene, but he had such a good time. And also, I think, kind of really wanted to have a scene with the Looney Tunes that he came back for the final basketball scene at the end.
Oh.
So he loved it.
Lovely.
We also have Wayne Knight, who plays Stan Podolak, who's that kind of like lovable assistant who's kind of like stumbling all over the place.
Yes. He's just like so hospitable and so nice.
Yeah.
Very funny.
So you might recognize him from his role in Jurassic Park, where he gets spat on by those dinosaurs that are like, you know?
So what you guys can't see is Barney just like putting his hands by his face and like doing the gills.
The little, yeah.
Oh my God.
He also voices Al in Toy Story 2, Al Toy Barn. If you think about it, Al really looks like the actor, Wayne.
He does. We also have a cameo from Dan Castellaneta. You guys might know him as Homer Simpson.
Yes.
Yeah.
Among many other characters in The Simpsons.
Yeah, that's true.
But that was great. He kind of sits in the audience of one of the basketball games. Mm-hmm. He has a few bits of dialogue. He's like really, really into it.
Yeah. Another actor who I really like is Danny DeVito. And he is actually the voice of Swat Hammer, the mean kind of mogul who runs Moron Mountain and tries to like enslave the Looney Tunes. We don't need to go into this in detail, but if you don't know, Bugs Bunny is played by Billy West,
who voices Fry in Futurama.
Ooh, voice acting looks like such a fun gig. Daffy Duck and the Tasmanian Devil are voiced by a guy called D. Bradley Baker.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got Bob Bergen. He plays Porky Pig and Tweety Pie, or Tweety, the boy. And then Kath Suchi plays Lola Bunny.
These actors' names sound like cartoon characters.
True.
And finally, we have some cameos from some NBA stars.
Mm-hmm.
The five players who have their talent stolen in the film are mm-hmm. Charles Barkley, Larry Johnson, Muggsy Bogues, Patrick Ewing and Sean Bradley, and none of them actually ever won an NBA championship, largely due to Michael Jordan winning 6 championships with the Bulls between like 91 to 98.
Okay, fair enough.
So yeah, they didn't have a chance.
Also, can we talk about how fit Michael Jordan is?
Oh, those arms.
Honestly, Michael Jordan is so fit. And Warner Brothers, they were so accommodating for Michael on this film, because Jordan had his own like gym built on the Warner Bros set so he could, you know, keep in shape in between takes.
That is mad. But gotta keep him happy.
100%. Keep the star happy.
Right, speaking of stars, shall we move on to our first category, best supporting character?
I'm gonna pretend to be one of those mice.
Best supporting character.
Hey Now, Hey Now has something very exciting to announce. We've released a gift card and gift wrap collaboration with the incredible British illustrator, Zoe Spry.
Shut up!
Excuse me?
No, our Princess Diaries card with Mia. It says, it's your birthday? Shut up! I love this so much.
So if you stand some nostalgic gift cards and gift wrap and want to support the Zoe Spry and Hey Now, Hey Now collaboration, head to zoespry.com. You will not regret it.
I want this Meredith card for my birthday in October, please. Being young and beautiful is not a crime, you know.
Ugh, a bit vain.
That's also on the card. We designed these. How could you forget?
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
So let's talk about best supporting character. And the one that really caught my eye was Nort, the magenta, high-pitched alien minion who is so evil but so cute and has, like, the sweetest voice. Honestly, like, Tweety Who, it's all about Nort. She or they, I don't even know if these aliens have genders.
Yeah.
Nort is so kind of, like, sickly sweet. So when they first land their spaceship in the kind of, like, Looney Tunes world and they've, like, accosted Bugs Bunny, one of the aliens goes, "Hold on there, Mr. Looney Tune. Hey, what do you think we are, stupid?" And they pull out, like, a big laser gun. And then Nort's like,
they end up looking scary, don't they? Nort is not cute when it turns into that big old monster.
Honestly, it's horrific to watch. Like, just that combination of, like, climactic music and, like, you see flashes of their, like, skeletons. It's, like, horrible, but beautifully animated, I should say.
Yeah, definitely. I would not like to go to Moron Mountain at all. It looks terrifying.
It looks really bad.
And just for those, you know, Space Jam fans, obviously the aliens' names aren't really said in the film, I don't think. But if you want to know their names, the orange one is called Pound, the green one is called Bang, obviously we've got Nort, and the purple one's called Bupkus, and the blue one is called Blanco.
Blanco. Blanco is that kind of, like, ruggy one as well. It's just all a bit, like,
Dopey.
Yeah, he's like, totally, all right, so where are we going? Everyone knows someone a bit like that.
To be fair, if I lived in Moron Mountain,
you would do whatever you need to do to kind of make it a livable situation.
Yeah, he's definitely on some, like, space mushrooms. Like, okay, so the guy I want to talk about is Stan, the assistant. Aww. Michael. He's just so funny. We stan a character like that, is basically what I wanted to say. There's such a funny moment between Stan, Michael, and Daffy Duck. And Stan's like, let me help. I can help. And Michael Jordan's like, what can you do? Well, I may not be very tall, but I'm slow. And then Sylvester goes, and large. And then Daffy Duck's like, and the dork. He's a big old fat dog.
So you do not want him playing on your basketball team.
No, he is the ball. Basically.
I mean, there's that bit where he gets, like, inflated, and then to deflate, he kind of flies around the whole basketball court, like, farting. Not cute. So much so that even the animated skunk has a peg over its nose. It's like, oh, this is too bad even for me.
Gosh, that's so bad.
We should probably award best supporting character to someone who is, God bless them, they try so hard, don't they? And they're always just the butt of the joke. It is, of course, Daffy Duck.
We knew the impressions would be bad in this episode, but it's fine. Daffy Duck.
How do you say it?
Daffy. Duck.
I'm only going to get worse. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry, guys. I don't want to ruin my microphone, basically. Yeah, he's just pesky, isn't he? He doesn't mean to be. He's got so much confidence for someone who just gets absolutely, like, ripped.
Yeah.
He's so funny. He's so funny.
You feel bad for him.
Yeah.
Like, when he walks out on the court and there's, like, literally crickets. But no, he's so funny. He has some amazing quotes.
Yeah, his ideas just get absolutely slammed. You know that bit when he's like, how's this for a new team name? The Ducks. And Bugs Bunny's like, oh, no, 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 please, what kind of Mickey Mouse organization would name their team the Ducks? So sue me. It's just a suggestion.
Which is so layered because Warner Bros. Was obviously taking the mick out of Disney, who had just before this released a movie called The Mighty Ducks about an ice hockey team. So, love a layered joke.
Yes.
So look, Daffy didn't win the game, but he will win Best Supporting Character. So this one's for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Clean up on aisle three.
Okay, so now we're going on to most iconic outfit. No, it's a cartoon.
The Looney Tunes characters are naked pretty much throughout almost the whole film.
Yeah, why is Lola Bunny in shorts and a top and Bugs is just like, I'm just going to have my...
rabbit dick out.
Look at my coward. Oi, oi, oi.
Well, that's exactly something that I want to talk about. So when Bugs Bunny is holding the kind of cartoon union meeting, Daffy Duck bursts through in his like showering gear and he's got a shower cap on and he's got a towel wrapped around his waist. Why is he wearing a towel if he's normally naked when he's dry? He goes, oh God, this impression is going to be awful.
Stop the music. Tap Duck coming through. Jesus, getting so a guy can't even get himself wet around here.
Oh, I'm cringing. I'm so bad at this.
Oh, my God. It's fine. Oh, my God. Daffy does have some iconic moments, you know? I really like that bit where, for the ultimate game, he's wearing, like, a rubber ring and a codpiece. And it's just like...
What's a codpiece?
It's, like, kind of what guys put over there to stop it getting hit, I think.
Oh, like a cup?
Yeah.
Oh.
You should know this, but you don't like sport.
When am I playing sport ever?
I know, but I thought it was just something guys knew.
Oh my God. Remember in our High School Musical episode, I told you about how I was literally listening to Bop to the Top during a football game at school. There we go. Barney, you letting 10 goals? Excuse me, I'm dancing here. We also have that scene where they're trying to recruit the Looney Tunes to be in the basketball team. And they're like, now which of you maroons have ever played basketball before? And Daffy Duck comes in and he's like, I have, coach. And there's an important and strategic question that I need to ask. And then all this like runway, like disco music starts playing. He bursts through down a catwalk wearing this amazing outfit. And he's like, what do you think? I'm kind of partial to purple and gold myself. It goes better with my colouring. And then Porky Pig walks in. He's like, guys. And then he looks at Daffy Duck and he's like, oh, nice outfit, Daffy. Porky Pig's got taste.
He does have taste.
Literally.
For a porky guy.
Tastes delicious. Hey, where's Porky Pig? He's not in the sequel.
Oh. IMDb, The Great Hog Roast.
Porky!
Beep, beep, beep. Beep, beep. There's an apple in my mouth. Beep, beep, beep,
beep. I'm gonna take a nap in the oven. Sleep tight.
There's the scene, obviously, where Michael gets pulled into the Looney Tunes world,
yeah.
And when they're on the golf course, and it's Bill Murray actually who is wearing this like umbrella hat.
Yes, and it's so, it's like a really nice like red plaid.
Yeah.
I think very stylish.
I mean, ironically, they're funny to wear, but not seriously.
Well, do you remember when we both wore umbrella hats?
Yes, but that was because we were dressing up as raining cats and dogs, and it was funny.
Oh, yeah.
It was funnier than it sounds.
Yeah. It's clever.
Yeah.
We had little like face paint of a cat and a dog, and then we had attached pictures of cats and dogs falling from our umbrella hat.
Yeah.
Ever, man.
Iconic, I say.
And I still wear mine every day.
But I think we just need to give a little nod to Michael Jordan's like basketball outfit and his cool like white and black Air Jordans. Iconic, Michael.
Such a look. And the fact that he wears his lucky shorts underneath his regular basketball shorts as well.
Oh, the North Carolina ones.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, ew.
So I wash them. Oh, okay.
Sure, sure, sure.
But we have to award most iconic outfit to the Toon Squad's basketball uniforms. They are instantly recognizable.
Yeah, if I ever wanted to take up basketball, I'd want to have a jersey like that.
Completely. Like, they just, they look so chic. For the sequel, which we should discuss a bit later on in the show, they got a bit of a revamp.
Mm-hmm.
So they're still definitely inspired by the original, but they're just a little bit more 21st century.
Yeah, definitely.
And the characters look great in them. Lola Bunny really pulls them off.
She gets a wolf whistle from the crowd.
Yeah.
From like 10 wolves.
Before devouring her.
Yeah. Deleted scene. Where's Porky and Lola? What's like a rabbit dish?
Welsh rabbit?
No, that's cheese on toast.
Oh!
Okay, so now we're going on to best musical moment. Now, some of you might not know who the original composer is for Looney Tunes. He's a guy called Carl W. Stalling. And he did a lot of animations in his time. But obviously for this film, the producers felt that they didn't want to create something that, you know, didn't sound modern, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So they got a guy called James Newton Howard to come on board and do like a Stalling kind of inspired soundtrack, but would work in like modern context. They had 99 musicians. Like doing the orchestra for this film.
Wow.
And yeah, so it sounded really like Looney Tunes, but yeah, also cool at the same time because
yeah,
hello, Michael Jordan's in it. And actually Michael Jordan approved the tracks that were on this film because obviously, you know, they wanted it to be representative of him and cool music of the time. So it's very like R&B and hip hop based. Yeah, I'm into it.
Great. I'm glad that he consulted on this. I mean, we have amazing songs on the soundtrack. I think I want to give a shout out to
I mean, yes. I mean, that's like the best kind of like get ready music, isn't it?
Yeah. We also have pump up the jam, pump it up while your feet are stomping. So good. It actually reminds me of this Now That's What I Call like 90s anthems CD that I used to have.
What Now album are they on now?
Like, it's over 100.
Oh my gosh. One of my old bosses used to be the voiceover for Now That's What I, like, he did
really?
All the adverts. Every time I got back from work, I was like, oh God, follows me home.
Yeah.
He's just on the TV, wherever you go.
And in the bushes outside your house. You're like, oh, hey, here's a tea for you. Now that's what I call tea. We are also treated to salt and pepper upside down.
Upside down.
Boy, you're turning me
inside out.
So that happens when the aliens are taking the basketball player's talent.
Mm.
It's a very good scene.
Pivotal scene.
Mm-hmm. You know, when the aliens are in that big disguise. And they've got the coat on,
yeah,
and the fedora hat and like sneaking. So good. During the ultimate game, we've got, you ready for this? So that's the Toon Squad versus the Monstars.
Yeah.
Love the names.
Yeah, such a good song. And I feel like they play that at like any basketball game.
Yeah.
I think like legally they have to play it.
Yeah, it's incredible.
It gets everyone so pumped.
Another song that we need to talk about is I Believe I Can Fly.
Yes.
Woo! Classic.
Classic, although we are not going to talk about who sang that song.
Oh, no. No.
Yeah, but it's a good song.
Yeah, we don't like him. But one of my favourite YouTube videos, however, is I Believe I Can Fly Sloth.
No, I haven't seen that.
Watch it now. Do a live viewing.
Oh, my God. Oh, there's an advert. Ooh, Frozen's coming to London.
Oh.
So there's a sloth trying to cross the road and someone's picking the sloth up from, what, the scruff of its neck, I guess? God, sloths are slow. Yeah, he's picked him up. Oh my God. He's like stretched out, like he's flying. That's so funny. And now he's on the other side of the road. I thought like an alligator was going to come out the bush and eat him or something.
Oh my God, that would be a better ending.
No!
How funny.
That's amazing. But obviously we can only award one song, Best Musical Moment. And I think we're in agreement that it has to be...
Space Jam, obviously. Only because it is actually like such a good song. Everybody get up, it's time to slam now. Welcome to the Space Jam. All right.
So it's recorded by the Quad City DJs and it kind of acts as like the overall. It's basically like the Space Jam theme tune. It's amazing. It is still on Spotify. You can go listen to it now. It has had 22 million listens, although obviously that does not surprise me one bit.
No.
And I feel like this song really was like...
a jam?
A jam. Okay, what is a space jam? Like a traffic jam in space? Like, why is it called jam?
Oh, yeah. Quick, Google it. Michael Jordan might be listening.
Oh, okay. Google's telling me jam is slang used for describing a dunk shot. Okay, right. Mystery solved. How has it taken me 25 years to find that out? Whoops. Okay, next we're on to best quote. And obviously the Looney Tunes are known for some amazing catchphrases, and Space Jam just gives us so many more ones to quote now.
Oh my god, definitely. It's the delivery for me. Just for a bit of context into what the whole film is about, there's this bit between Michael and Bugs Bunny, and Michael's like, what's going on here? Well, why, Michael? I thought you'd never ask. You see, these aliens came from outer space and they want to make us slaves in their theme park, eh? What do we care? They're little, so we challenge them with a basketball game. But then they show up and they ain't so little. They're huge. We need to beat these guys because they're talking about slavery. They're going to make us do stand-up comedy. The same jokes every night for all eternity. We're going to be locked up like wild animals and then trotted out to perform for a bunch of lowbrow, bug-eyed, fat-headed, humor-challenged aliens, eh? But what I'm trying to say is, we need your help. Yeah, I'm a baseball player now. Right. And then Bugs pulls out a rabbit skull. Is he a murderer? And goes... and I'm a Shakespearean actor.
Shady.
I know. Oh my god, he's the one who put Porky Pig in the hog race. Yeah. For sure.
It's a little hot in here.
Why are you bathing me in applesauce?
Honestly, I need that deleted scene. We also have that scene when the aliens first become huge monsters.
Mm-hmm.
The blue kind of druggy one is like, hey, little pig. And the pig's like,
I would whip myself.
Happens to the best of us.
That is so cute. I really like this scene where Daffy Duck and Bugs Bunny are going into Michael Jordan's house. You know when like the kids are awake and then they like see that Daffy and Bugs are in the house?
Yeah. Side note, why are you not terrified? But all right.
Daffy Duck's like, you think she's got enough toys? And then Bugs says, speaking of toys, remember those mugs and t-shirts and lunch boxes with our pictures on them? Yep. You ever see any money from all of that stuff? Ha! Not a cent. Me neither. We gotta get a new agent. We're getting screwed.
That's true. Like I mentioned, $6 billion in like games and merchandise. God, they're missing out.
I know. Daffy could get so many new beaks with that money.
Necessary. Oh my god, have a, like a subscription.
A just beak sub.
A new beak in the post every week. They could call it Beak a Week. Am I a marketing genius? My employers would say no. Oh. I wanted to give a shout out to a scene between Michael Jordan and Bill Murray towards the end. Bill is trying to play basketball and Michael's like, no, no, no. And Bill Murray goes, it's because I'm white, isn't it? And Michael Jordan says, no, Larry's white, so what? And for context, Larry Johnson is one of the five stars who gets their talent stolen. Mm-hmm. And Bill replies, Larry's not white, Larry's clear, like so pale, transparent, basically.
Oh my god. So there's a really hilarious moment with Charles Barkley and the psychiatrist, because obviously their talent's been taken from them. They think they're going crazy because they literally can't even like pick up a ball and like dribble it around the court. And Charles is like, it was this girl, 5 feet nothing, blocked my shot. When did you first start having this dream? It wasn't a dream. It really happened. He's that bad.
That was such a good scene. You just see that girl and her friends just completely lose respect for him in like 1 second. Stan also has a moment where he's picking up Michael from that like hotel room. Mm-hmm. And he goes, come on, Michael, it's game time. Get your Hanes on, lace up your Nikes, grab your Wheaties and your Gatorade, and we'll pick up a Big Mac on the way to the ballpark. First of all, that sounds like the worst diet ever for an athlete, but best diet ever to eat. And what I found out is that all of those brands that Stan mentions are previous brand endorsement deals that Michael Jordan had in the 90s.
Ah.
So it was a little like wink and a nod to the audience.
Nice.
It's funny.
It's so funny, like, athletes wouldn't endorse McDonald's anymore.
I know. Isn't that so funny?
That is wild. I miss the days when we were naive about health, kind of. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes I'm like, life would be so more stress-free if I didn't realise that Cocoa Pops were bad for me.
Tell me about it.
I used to have Ricicles every morning for breakfast. You remember the ones?
Yeah.
Like Rice Krispies, but with, like, coated in sugar.
Yeah, and then you would obviously sprinkle it more sugar on top.
Oh. See? Oops.
I didn't know. It was the 90s.
It was the 90s. Now it's gluten-free this, dairy-free this. I suppose it's saving the planet though. So.
So funny. Yeah, I'll be like, oh no, I have to have almond milk in my coffee. Meanwhile, I'm having like a block of cheese for dinner. Honestly, priorities all over the place.
Help where you can.
Yeah. Well, yeah. True.
Exactly. I really like Tweety Pie, you know, just the classic. Oh, I tore. I did see Michael Jordan. It's so cute.
And when one of the monsters hits Tweety over to the other side of the court, and Tweety's like, oh, my poor widow coinium. Cute.
I'm going to start using that if anything hurts my brain. Yeah. Oh, my poor little coinium.
You're like, what should I order from Deliveroo?
Oh, my poor widow coinium.
Honestly, the hardest decision.
Is it Wagamama's or is it Nando's?
Right, I definitely think the best quote should go to the scene where the Looney Tunes have brought Michael Jordan into their world and they have shown him their kind of like rundown basketball court.
Yes.
So Michael Jordan goes, this place is a mess. And Daffy says, meth? You're worried about a little meth? Oh, there's nothing here that a little spit shine wouldn't fix. Spit shine! Spit shine! And the camera pans down. All of the Looney Tune characters are just taking their turn spitting on the floor to clean it. They're like... And Michael Jordan's looking around like, oh my God, where am I? And then at the end, Taz takes two mops and starts spinning around the entire basketball court to clean it all up. And at the end, he goes, lemony fresh.
He used to have a spin-off show.
He did, and they'd show it before school in the morning.
I love that programme so much. His dad used to love orange juice.
That's a question. Why could his whole family talk except for Taz?
He was a nightmare.
He was a nightmare. No. Didn't they live in like a cave? Also, what is a Tasmanian devil?
One of the most dangerous animals in the world. You don't want to run into a Tasmanian devil or a honey badger, and you certainly don't want to run into like a hippopotamus.
Oh, sorry, I'm looking at a picture. It's kind of like a big rat that also looks like a little like bear as well.
I know, like you'd think, oh, that's quite cute, but really that would bite you and kill you.
Are they that dangerous? Mm. Oh wow. Tasmanian devils are characterized by their stocky and muscular build, black fur, pungent odor, extremely loud and disturbing screech, keen sense of smell, and ferocity when feeding. Mm. Wow. And it has the strongest bites a unit body mass of any predatory land mammal.
Oh.
Yeah, you're not, you don't want to be in a room with a Tasmanian devil.
No.
Otherwise, you know, if they weren't that bad, they'd be called Tasmanian
angels.
Angels. Bit shine!
Okay, so now we're on to our favorite part of the podcast, which is Can We Discuss? Now, maybe we should start with the sequel of Space Jam, which was out in July
yes.
of this year.
I mean, it took 25 years to come out, but you know that Warner Brothers was working on a sequel as early as 1996. So they wanted to do a sequel straight away, but Michael Jordan didn't agree to star in the sequel, so they cancelled it.
Oh, right. Okay.
As alternatives, they also tried to look into doing a film called Spy Jam with Jackie Chan, Race Jam with Tiger Woods,
okay.
and Skate Jam with Tony Hawk.
They all sound great.
I mean, I'd watch them.
Yeah, definitely.
July was when we were finally blessed with Space Jam, A New Legacy, and it stars LeBron James.
It basically centers around a kind of like rogue artificial intelligence kidnapping LeBron's son, and then LeBron has to work with Bugs Bunny to win another basketball game.
God, that's intense. I'm so glad that they were able to bring it back.
Yeah, and the more LeBron James on our screen, the better, if you ask me.
Honey, you ain't wrong. What's so sad, though, is that when the movie came out in 96, they had a promotional website, which, imagine the internet in 1996, so, like, prehistoric. What was amazing is that all these years later, that website has remained untouched. So if you literally, if you could go on, you know, spacejam.com, and the website that comes up is the exact same as it looked in 1996, which was so cool. But sadly, when the Space Jam sequel came out this year, they updated the website to promote the new film. So all of that is gone.
Oh my goodness.
Sad times. But maybe we should kind of put that kind of internet behind us.
Oh yeah, in the past. Leave that with Smarter Child.
Smarter Child!
Yeah!
They're kind of like AI that would talk back to you.
Uh-huh, on MSN.
Forgot about that.
Yeah.
What stuff would it say?
I don't know, but I just remember like harassing it.
Why? I just want to love.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Go back and befriend that talking paperclip. Like,
I also just don't really understand anything to do with the point system in basketball. Watching Space Jam, it's clear anything goes in that second half. Like, these people were not abiding to any rules.
I know. And also, like, the last 10 seconds of their game was literally, like, 10 hours.
Yeah, it was,
you know?
So
it was
long.
Like, 10, 9, 8. You know, like, it had to be, like, double everything.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
Yeah, but honestly, at one point, they tied dynamite to the hoop. They let a skunk roam around. They, like, literally shoot the teeth of one of the monsters with a gun.
Oh, my God.
And then at the end, Michael Jordan's arm stretched literally, like, halfway across the court to get that, like, last, like, dunk in.
There's that really iconic scene of all of the Toons characters, like, sitting on the bench, and they're all, like, absolutely destroyed from the game.
Yeah.
Like, we've got Sylvester, but he looks like his body's a fried chicken.
Yeah.
And we've got the coyote who's like sitting on the side. He's got like leg in cast, arms in bandages,
yeah.
And he's got like a sign that says extreme pain on it, which is I'm obsessed.
When did he find time to make that sign?
I don't know. It's the Toons. They know. They got a few things on their sleeves.
Speaking of the Toons, we should maybe just give a mention to some of the dodgy CGI in this film.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, overall, very watchable. And I think the film really does stand up today.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's a 1996 movie, so
they did the best they could.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. There's just a couple bits where I just kind of winced at. There's the scene where the monsters, like, fold Michael Jordan into the shape of a basketball and, like, dribble him around the court and pass him around. All his limbs are all, like, bent round, and then his face is just like, ah!
Yeah.
And that was just a little bit janky.
Yeah.
And we also have the scene where Stan is reinflated after being crushed by the monsters.
Yeah.
And he looks like this massive skin suit. It's so gross.
Oh.
He's just kind of like floating up around the arena.
Blech.
Aside from that, though, I think they did a good job.
Oh my gosh. Overall, I really think that the cartoon is really nice. That's kind of how they talk in Looney Tunes. You just had a... at the end of every sentence. Shall we go on to trivia?
Well, okay, as long as it doesn't hurt my widow quanium.
Okay, here we go with the trivia round.
Wow, if I'm going to beat you in this, I'm going to need some of Michael's special stuff.
Ew.
Water.
Oh! Honey, whatever helps.
Water.
Well, okay. Well, here's question one for you. What does Lola Bunny hate being called?
Doll.
Yes!
What's up, Doc?
Don't ever call me doll.
And then she, like, flicks her ear out of her face.
Yeah.
What is the name of Michael's child sports team?
Is it, like, Little Sluggers?
Suffering Succotash!
Little Sluggers!
Yes!
Cyclone!
Oh! I prefer Little Sluggers.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
Yes. Okay, can you tell me who refereed the final match between the Monstars and the Toon Squad?
Oh my God, is it Larry Bird?
Suffering Succotash!
No.
Oh no, who?
It's Marvin the Martian.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. It's actually quite clever. It's because he's both a Looney Tune and an alien. He's neutral. Like, he's impartial to the match.
Ah.
So he'd be a very fair referee.
Michael Jordan has a bulldog, which we see in the scene when we're going to his house. Can you tell me the name?
Is it Seymour?
So close.
Oh.
It's Charles. Oh, so close.
How is Charles close to Seymour?
I'm thinking of the letter C.
Seymour's an S!
I know. I just realised that was.
I'm going to deduct a point for that blunder.
Suffering succotash.
That was accidental.
Okay. What do the Monstars call Michael Jordan to annoy him? They give him a little insult. One of the Monstars goes, "You're all washed up."
Well, I've got no idea. Do they call him like 5'2"?
Suffering succotash.
They call him Baldy.
Oh. What is the number on Michael Jordan's basketball shirt?
Is it 23?
Yes.
Woohoo!
What's up, Doc?
Because that was his original number.
Oh, very good.
Okay, here's my fourth question to you. What does Swaghammer want Michael Jordan to do if he loses the game and becomes enslaved at Moron Mountain?
Sign autographs all day long and do like one-on-one coaching with the people.
Yes!
What's up, Doc?
Well done.
Thank you.
God, you'd get carpal tunnel syndrome so quickly doing that all day.
Honey, you would. And with his big hands? I mean, oh. Yeah. What is Bugs' basketball shirt number?
Is it 13?
Suffering succotash.
No, it's number one.
Oh, the one and only. Okay, my final question to you. What do the Looney Tunes characters refer to the real world as?
Oh my goodness, I thought I knew this one. The 3D?
Yes. So they would call it 3D...
Land.
Yes!
What's up, Doc?
Fair enough. It looks quite good to be 2D.
I'd be a lot skinnier.
Ooh, I'm so slim.
Find me that tunnel, baby.
Okay, so what was the final score for the Toon Squad versus Monstars? So obviously the Toon Squad win.
Yeah.
What was the score?
Oh my goodness. Is one of the scores 69?
Wait.
No. Oh, oh gosh, I have no idea.
Suffering succotash.
77-78.
Oh, of course. I remember. Yeah, of course. It was such a close one.
Oh. And that 10 seconds, I'm sorry, lasted so long.
Yeah.
What the heck?
Obviously, numbers just like don't make sense in Looney Tunes world.
No. It's Looney.
It was the 90s.
It was a lonely time. So that concludes our episode on the 1996 classic feature film, Space Jam.
I can't believe it.
Are you ready for this? Thank you for listening. Those mice are so cute. Yeah, actually, thank you so much for listening. I really enjoyed that. I thought that was a really good episode.
Guys, if you leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, I promise Emily will never do a Looney Tunes impression again.
I think you should do it right now. That is a great idea.
No, honestly, we would appreciate it so much. And honestly, while you're there, why don't you check out our brand new collaboration with British illustrator Zoe Spry?
Yes, all the details are in the podcast description. We've collaborated on 7 gift card designs and 3 gift wraps. They're flying off the shelves, if I may say so. So if you want to get these designs, go to zoespry.com. That's ZoeSpry.com. It's worldwide shipping. So it's not just exclusive to people in the UK. And we really hope you like it. Tag us.
Getting one of the products would be a slam dunk, in my opinion.
Oh, I see what you did there.
And that is coming from someone who doesn't understand basketball. I think that's a positive term.
Slam dunk your debit card on your desk and purchase some cards.
Right, well, I think there's nothing else left to say except...
That's all, folks. No.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.